I think I just broke this stand, so it will not stay up. Either that, or I'm no good at this. All right. Nathan, I'm taking yours. So we've been looking at that story for Chris. Thanks, man. A little higher, if you could. Thanks, man.
Good there.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. And I won't touch the knob. If it's not good, it's good enough. So we've been looking at that story from Luke for the last couple of weeks, and the more time we've spent in it, the more time I've prepped getting ready for today and looking at the story, I've realized I really enjoy it. We're in this series, Up, In, and Out, and Chris has spent the last couple of weeks talking about up a few weeks ago and in last week, and I'm talking about out today. I get the chance to wrap it up for you guys. And Chris has done an incredible job in really inspiring this idea that God is the greatest thing. He's the greatest being, and my relationship with him is critical in a balanced life. That in, we have a new family. I have this thing, this group of people that I call my own, and I can't follow Jesus without that. And today, up. And I found myself a bit nervous coming in today. And I don't like to be nervous. I don't enjoy the feeling of nervousness and jittery or whatever. And so I'm thinking, like, why do people get nervous? Like, why does this happen? And I was like, well, sometimes people get nervous because they're not prepared. I was like, well, I've spent so much time, you cannot imagine, thinking about this concept over years. I'm prepared. Sometimes we get nervous because the crowd is, like, rough. And I'm like, I know these people. They love me. They're going to be gracious. I'm okay. This will be all right. The crowd is good. And sometimes we get nervous because something is just so important. Because we have something before us that's so critical that we're just nervous. We have this anxiety that builds up as we anticipate the moment. And it reminded me, I have three kids, and oddly, I was nervous each time I had a child that was being born. And even by the third one, when Claire was coming along, we went to the hospital and all that stuff, and I'm like, oh, I've done this before. I knew she was a girl, or we had a pretty good idea that she was a girl, and we already had two girls, so I was like, I know how to do this. I know how it works with little girls. They love me, and I love them, and we cuddle a lot, and this is good. This will work. So, I was prepared. We were ready, and we knew God had us in his hands, and our people, our family, were going to take good care of us. But having a kid is like, you know, it's a big deal. And I was nervous. In spite of all the thinking I might do, I was nervous because it was a big day. So talking about out to me is kind of like that. I have come to believe, the more I study this stuff, and the more I spend thinking and praying about it, that if we don't get out as a church, then we've failed. We fail to be obedient to Jesus. We fail to live out the dream that God has for everyday church. So this is a big deal. We fail to be obedient. We fail to truly love the world if we don't learn to live out. So that's what's at stake. That's what's at risk. And so there's a lot of pressure on me today. But then I thought, you know what? It's all about the Holy Spirit. I have God. I'm up. I've got this up thing. God's got me. And so I can relax. And I've got people. I've got a new family. And so I can share with them what's in my heart, trusting that they'll hear and they'll listen. And so I ask you to lean in and listen closely because I believe this is it. We've got to figure out. And I figured out there's so many weird ways to say out in little statements that it's confusing. In, out. We've got to live out. So living out is a new life on mission. That's what this is about. We've been talking about the three dimensions of a balanced life. Up, in, and out, and what it's like to live this way, thinking about these things in balance. If you've missed up and out, the messages on up and out, up and in, the last few weeks, then I encourage you to go to the website. They're out there, and they're really good, and they'll challenge you and get you thinking about church, I think, in new ways. And so, up and out. Check them out on the website if you didn't get them, or listen to them again, because this stuff is really important to everyday church, and we're going to be talking about this all the time, and so we want you to understand what up and out is all about, and in is all about. So Jesus is a perfect example. Chris talked about this story a bit that we're going through, that we see Jesus living in this sort of balance of the three, up, in, and out. And the story that we're going through in Luke is God Jesus living in all three of those scenarios. And so up, we talked about God is the greatest thing, that there is. He is the greatest being that there is. And so I want to show you some pictures that sort of illustrate how we do these things at Everyday Church. This is a picture of one of our groups, and they're studying the Bible. The Bible is a collection of letters and books that were written by loads of different guys leading up to Jesus' life and immediately following Jesus' life. And Jesus himself often went to Scripture to think about and wrestle with and talk to people about God. And his disciples did the same thing. His followers have spent thousands of years, really, wrestling with the truths we find and encounter in these letters and books collected in the Bible. And so we do the same thing. Connecting with God means taking his word seriously and looking and poring through Scripture to understand what he teaches us with there. Next picture. So this is the Lord's Supper. We did it just a moment ago. One of the things that Jesus asked, right before, actually, he was murdered, right before he left the earth, he asked us to remember him, and he asked that we do it through this thing that we sometimes call the Lord's Supper, communion, or Eucharist. This is an incredible way for us to remember the generosity and the love of God. It's a way, a very real way, that we connect with God up. Next picture. All right, this is a picture of us here. It wasn't moments ago. I wish we could have done a live, like, shot of you guys worshiping and then put it up here. But this is a picture of us gathering together to do what we call worship. Worship, very simply, is attributing worth to God, letting him know what he's worth to us. And so we do that when we gather here through songs, but we worship God in lots of different ways. This is one of them. So when we gather together as a family, we look up, we raise our hands up, we lift our voices up because of this unique connection that we have with God, and we want him to know that he's important to us. So the second of the three dimensions we've been talking about, Chris has been teaching us about, is in. And I love in. I'm an in guy. I could just stop right here and say, if you're allowed to have a favorite up in and out, then I think in might be my favorite. I'm not sure if we're allowed to, but in, I think, is my favorite. In is like this realization that we cannot live this life in obedience to Jesus by ourselves. It is not possible for us to do what God calls us to do and to live particularly out without one another. We can't do it on our own. So let's look at some pictures of Everyday Church doing this. This is a beautiful picture. Spend some time. Just look at that picture. There's some awesome stuff happening in that picture. There's some really cute kids in that picture and some nice-looking adults, and they're sweet and all that. But the kids are really cute. So I mentioned I have three kids. My kids are awesome. I am not so awesome, and I have come to realize, and I have no problem saying this, I cannot raise my kids alone. I cannot help them become what Jesus wants them to be on my own. I need you guys. I need help raising my children. And so this is an expression of in. This is us standing up here and saying, these kids are our kids, and we're going to raise them together and love and nurture them and draw the Spirit of God out of them and get them connected into their role and what God's up to in the world. Next picture. This is us just having fun. If you look at the life of Jesus, read about Jesus, he's constantly eating. And he usually does that with people, and I think it was good food. But he is constantly eating and partying and having fun, spending time with his people, and so we eat. We eat together in the park. We eat together in each other's homes and at restaurants. We spend time together, and we believe the more time you spend together, the more opportunity there is for rich stuff to come and happen in our relationships with one another. So this is a part of in, eating and having fun together. Next picture. All right, that's just a beautiful picture. These are young adults and kids from our Everyday youth group. We really do believe that Everyday groups are a significant way that we accomplish what God has put in front of us. If we're going to be who we are called to be individually and as a church, we've got to have real relationships. And so our groups are a reflection of that. They're us coming together, a mixed crowd of people coming together and building real relationships. And as lovely as this thing is that we're doing together here, you can't build real, deep, meaningful relationships. Life-changing relationships, they don't happen when you get together in a crowd for a few minutes every week. And so our groups, our time outside of this setting, are critical as we try to figure out how to follow Jesus. So up, God is the greatest thing. In, we have a new family, and we get to do this thing together, and we can't follow Jesus without each other. And today, out. So let me show you some pictures. I'm just going to flip through a variety of pictures of us living out. That is a picture of tennis clinic. We've done this 3 times in the community, and loads of kids show up, and it's the coolest thing ever. Next picture. This is up at the medieval festival that happens up in Fort Tryon. We started this diaper spot, this thing where parents who walk in kids around and change diapers on bales of hay don't have to do that anymore because there's this cool place to do it, and we just get to encourage them, and we get to hold their children. But I think those are our kids. We hold our kids. Okay, next picture. This is a mural that we did, the Everyday Garden in a school around here, giving beauty to a school and creating a space for them to do what they do. Next picture. These are a group of kids in the DR. Part of what we do out is global. It's not just here. There are kids there that need to know the love of Jesus, and that's a picture of some of them. And we've got great things in store in the DR and other places. This is like all up in and out. This was a cool. We have fun together at our Christmas family service here. We set up a thing with stuff taped on the wall, and then kids showed up and dressed up, and it's beautiful. And it's a way for us to invite our friends and get people involved and realize the church is fun and full of joy. Next picture. This is an improv party, the Everyday Creativity Group. That's funny. Look at I know the game, and it's funny looking at it on a picture. So getting people together and just having a setting to invite your friends into where people have a good time. We have good times together. Next picture. This is, those are drums, and this was a room full of drums, and this was actually a pep rally getting ready for some of the tests that the kids take each year to get them excited and have a good time. It followed a season of tutoring that we were doing. Next slide. This is a group of guys meeting at a school in the area. We had a guy that we know that used to be in the NBA, and he came and did a basketball clinic, and we got to hang out with some middle school and high school kids, and it was a cool experience. Next slide. That's just a cute picture. And I had to include it because I like this kid, and it's a beautiful picture. Next one. All right, this is the Everyday Youth Group going on a camping trip together, and it was nuts. I was there, and it was crazy, but we had a great time, and there were kids from our community going out into nature and experiencing relationships and seeing what God has done for us and the beauty he's created. Next slide. Everyday Neighbors Group does a whole lot of stuff in a nursing home up in Riverdale, and that's a picture of them just loving and caring. Next picture. That's another picture from the same thing. It's also just a beautiful picture. Next picture. This is a school supply drive. We do this every year, have done the last 3 years, and it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger until this last year the budget was like $18,000, and we gave tons of stuff to school, lots of schools in the area. We helped some schools that had suffered damage from the hurricane, and just this is us living out. It's loving and serving and being generous. I think that might be it. Is there any other pictures? Nope, that's it. Okay, so we live out. We do all sorts of things, and this is just scratching the surface. There's so many other things going on in the world that that we get to be and need to be a part of. So Luke, in our story, Luke's a doctor. If you know much about the guy who wrote the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts, he was a doctor. He lived around the time of Jesus, and he invested a great deal of time researching and recording the events of Jesus' life in the early church. And we get a perspective, a glimpse into what's going on there. And I love the story because we see Jesus living in this sort of balance of the three. And the first part of the story is he spends all night long on a mountain. I love mountains. I'm a mountain guy. I could spend all of my time on mountains. I love being out there. And Jesus, this is like my moment to connect with him. He's on a mountain all night long praying. When was the last time you spent all night on a mountain? Probably not many of us have, and not recently, maybe. And when did you spend, the last time you spent all night praying? All night on a mountain, all night praying. It's, you know, this guy is real. He takes this stuff seriously. His relationship with God is absolutely priority number one. He gets away, and he spends time with God. The next part of the story, we see him, like, run down. I can see him, like, trotting off full of energy, sore a little bit from the rocks and whatever he slept on, but running down and gathering up his disciples and getting his followers around him, and then picking 12 of them out of that crew, a crazy group of 12 guys that he's going to give his best energy to, that he's going to spend three and a half years, moment after moment, cooking and laughing and serving and teaching and working with them, sending them out to do what God has in store for them and drawing them back in and teaching them from that. Up on a mountain, in with these people, getting them together and teaching them how to live life together in this new family, and then out. But what is this out piece? There's three questions that I want us to look at real quickly, because I think these questions get to the heart of what out is all about. First question, does God care? Does God care? Next question, what's God up to in this world? What's he doing? What's he up to? And the third question, what's the purpose of this church? I think these three questions, this is like ultra-simplifying so many things, theology, Christology, missiology, ecclesia, all these big words that I don't understand, but I understand these three questions. Does God care? What's he up to in the world? And what's the purpose? And in this room, I know a lot of you, and I know you're going through hard stuff, and it's really tough to know, does God really care? Look at what I'm dealing with. Does God even care? I know there's many of us that have been praying about the same things for days and weeks and years. Is God listening? What's he doing? What's he up to in the world? And a lot of us, at some point in our life, have been deeply wounded by the church. What is the church all about? Well, you're at Everyday Church today, and so I'm going to tell you what we believe. God does care. And he sent his son Jesus on a rescue mission to save humanity. That's what he's up to. And after Jesus was murdered for us, he came back to life and he appeared to loads of people, a lot of his followers, and then he gave us the same mission that God had given to him, to make sure that every man and woman and child knows how deeply God cares for them, that he wants to heal them, and that he has a new life in store in a new family living on mission for the world. That rescue mission that God handed down to his son Jesus, and then Jesus handed down to us, that same rescue mission is now our rescue mission. That is what out is. God is the greatest thing, and we have a new family out. We have a new life lived on mission. And if we fail to get this stuff, if we fail to live out, then I think we've missed the point and the purpose of the church, to live like Jesus lived, to carry on his work and his mission here. So let's look at the rest of the story from Luke. Jesus spent the night praying up. He came down and gathered his followers together. That's in. And then Luke chapter 6, verse 17. Let's look at it. He went down with them. He's talking about these followers that he gathered together. And he stood in a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon. Now, this is 2,000 years ago, and there are no cars, we know that. I actually had a moment where I thought, do they have bikes? And then I got this picture of Jesus riding a bike, and I was like, they didn't have bikes, because that was weird. So they didn't have cars. I'm pretty sure they didn't have bikes back then. And we find out from the story in a moment that these people were sick. They came for a reason, to be healed. They were sick. And this space that it describes is like hundreds of miles. And so these sick and troubled people walked. Maybe they rode an animal. But after a few minutes, that's not cool anymore. It's sore and painful. Maybe they rode an animal, but most likely they walked. Hours, and some people days. Why on earth did they walk hours and days to get to this place? Let's look at the next verse. They had come, Luke is nice, he answers it real easy. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Very simply, they came to be healed and to hear what he had to say. Some of these people were followers of Jesus, and so they believed in him, and they were there because they believed him. And some of them had just heard rumors that there's this dude who heals people, really heals people, and he has some crazy ideas. And so I'm going to go there, and I'm going to try to get healed, and I'm going to hear what he has to say. And what happened? Take a look at Luke 6, the next couple verses, 18 and 19. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured. And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming out from him and healing them all. To that I say, wow. Jesus heals. That's what he does. They came to be healed and they were healed. It's an awesome story. And it says so much to us. But what about healing? So far, what about hearing? So far, Jesus hasn't said anything. In the story, he hasn't said anything. Maybe he talked to his disciples and gathered them, but we don't have him saying anything. Well, this I had asked Andrea, she did an amazing job, by the way. She's a part of the creativity group. They do creative things to minister and bless us. She did a great job. I asked her if she, I had like 10 more pages of Jesus teaching, if she would do like a monologue for us, but she didn't think that was a very good idea. So instead, I'm speaking instead of listening to Andrea. So, but I encourage you, that's your homework. Go home and read. We're stopping in Luke 19 with this story. But from Luke 19 on, through the rest of this chapter, Jesus speaks. The people hear. Jump over to a similar story, the same account, but from Matthew. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's 5, 6, and 7, right? Yes, 5, 6, and 7. Jump over to Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and read that. That's your homework. Read the rest of Luke 6 and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I promise you, they showed up to be healed and they were healed. They showed up to hear and they heard. They heard from this guy. Every time people showed up, Jesus taught them incredible words, words of life. One of his followers said, "Where else are we going to go? You have the very words of life." That's what he does. He heals and he brings the words of life, a new life. It's not easy stuff at all. It's difficult. Love your enemies, he says. Allow yourself to be mistreated. What? It's good to be poor. Guys, it's good to be poor. It's good to be hungry. It's good to be rejected. Don't judge other people. Love them like God does. Don't judge them. Do you want life? You want real life? You have to die. Do you want to be first? You want to be on top of the world? You got to be last. You got to be a servant to everyone. You think you're too bad to be in God's family? Or you look over there and think that guy's too bad to be in God's family? You're wrong. No one is too bad. No one is too far gone to be forgiven, to be saved, to be healed, and to get this new life. There is a new life for us. Following Jesus, being rescued, and rescuing others. That's what Jesus does. He heals, and he calls us to a new life lived on mission. I want to read you something. It's one of those things you probably read before, but I just heard it a couple of days ago, and it was like, oh, this represents what I'm trying to talk about. It's from Paul, the Apostle Paul. Paul was a guy who, he hated Jesus. He killed Christians, and then he became a Christian, and this is something he wrote in a letter to some Christians a couple thousand years ago. Christ's love compels us. Jesus died for us, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus and then gave us, me and you, the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the same message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God, the God of the universe, were making his appeal through us. Why do we do any of this stuff? Because God cares. It's the answer to that question. Does he care? He cares. And he sent Jesus on a rescue mission to reach and to save humanity. And then he turned around and he gave that same mission to his Jesus followers, that we are on mission in this new life, on mission for Jesus, as if God were making his appeal to the world, expressing his love to the world, caring and rescuing the world through you and me. That's the way out works, a new life lived on mission. So how do we do this? We do believe this stuff, and we started this church a couple of years ago because we believed it, and we wanted to figure out how to do it in New York City because there were not many Christians here, and there were not many churches that had figured out, how do we live this way? How do we carry this kind of mission into New York City, into a city that's dark and broken and hurting? And so we prayed, and we wrestled with the Holy Spirit, and we tried to figure out, what does it look like? What is God up to in the city, and how can we join in that stuff? And that's why we're here. But it's not easy. We don't just want to be an up and an in church. We don't want to be a church that's just up and in, because up and in, honestly, I know this from my own life. Up and in is largely about me. God wants me to have a relationship. That's good for me. God wants me to have a family. That's good for me. Out is not good for me. It's not easy, It's not about me. In Jesus' case, when he lived out, he did it in such an incredible self-sacrificing way, even to the point of dying. And then he gave that same mission to us. It's not easy, and it's not about us. Selflessness, being selfless, is not an easy thing. It's simple. It's a fairly simple concept, but it's not an easy one. Because if I love the way God loves, and I'm in Jesus, then I got this new life, and that new life is lived on mission for other people. So for Everyday Church, it's all about everyday groups. A lot of the pictures you saw were everyday group things happening. Everyday groups are not up groups. They're not in groups. They're up and in and out groups. And our leaders, the leaders of our groups, are given the charge. We put a lot of pressure on our groups, a lot of responsibility on our group leaders to help maintain the balance of those things, to make sure you guys don't become up and in groups that are about ourselves, but that we remember we're on mission. But we're not on mission alone. We have God and we have one another. We're a family on a mission to reach and to love and to care for our community. And so our groups are the way largely that we get that done. But there's two parts to that. There's healing and there's new life. The healing part, Jesus brought healing everywhere he went. We talked about it, looked at it in the story from Luke. Everywhere he went, people were healed. But it wasn't just like surface healing. I got to thinking about this, like stitching my body back together, like healing my physical body, doesn't work that long because eventually I'm going to die. So it's only a temporary fix. So Jesus isn't primarily concerned about just healing the surface, healing the physical stuff. He was about healing the person, about healing the world. It was more than just physical stuff. It was inside our hearts and our souls healing us and restoring the world to the way God intended. What did he say? How did he say we should pray? Well, he started it off this way. Jesus taught his followers to pray, God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That what's happening on earth would gradually become what God dreams of. What's happening in heaven, the way God dreams of it being, that's healing. That's bigger than physical. It's everything. Restoring things to the way it should be. James, Jesus' brother, actually, said this, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. That's restoration. God isn't okay with fatherless and motherless children. He's not okay with people being discarded. Jesus told a story where he told a story of dividing the crowd into two groups, and one was accepted into heaven and one wasn't. And if you look into that story, you realize what all that Jesus said was these people took care of sick people. This group over here, they took care of hungry people. They visited people in prison, and so they're accepted into heaven. This other group, they didn't do that kind of stuff. There's a story in Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet that lived like 3,000 years ago or so, and we see God speaking through Isaiah, and Isaiah hammered God's people. He came down on them because they were living up. They had a relationship with God. They were living in. They had this thing going on. They were taking care of one another, but they had no out. They didn't do anything about the injustice or the brokenness in the world around them, and Isaiah and God through Isaiah spoke to them. So we respond to this stuff through our groups, through healing. I'll talk about that in a little bit. The other side of this, healing the world, the other side of it is new life. Jesus didn't come just to heal. He also shared good news. He had good news of the kingdom, of this new family that we live in and this new life that we are a part of on mission for God. Chris talked about the Apostle Peter last week, actually, in the inn section. Peter was a fisherman who followed Jesus, and then he didn't, and then he did. He was close to Jesus for years and then rejected him totally, just turned his back on Jesus. But here, Jesus healed Peter, and then here's something that Peter said in a letter. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So are we living lives as a church and individually that cause people to ask questions? If we look like the world, they're probably not going to ask questions. But if we look different, if we're living a life on mission, then there's something different about us, and people will ask, and we'll have an opportunity to talk about that. We'll have an opportunity to talk about our God and this new family that we have and the life that we live on mission. A moment ago, I talked a lot about our everyday groups and that's how we accomplish out. I want to read something for you. This is on our website, and it's well worded, and so I want to read this to you. There is a dream in the back of our minds that goes something like this. everything really important to everyday church. Everything really important to everyday church should be everything that's really important to God. Has an everyday group as its champion. In each group, you'll encounter God in a unique way. That's up. You'll experience friendship and belonging. That's in. And you'll find people pursuing a unique mission. Out. Here's what Kate's the leader of the Everyday Neighbors group. Here's what she said in describing her group. We want to bring joy and peace and compassion and justice to our neighborhood, our city, and our world. That's a beautiful mission. The Everyday Youth group, we showed a picture of it a bit ago. They're all about caring for and loving middle school and high school age kids. I have two girls in there, and they're an incredible blessing to me. They're accomplishing the mission of caring for and nurturing youths in our community. The Everyday Creativity group is all about creativity, but not just for our own fun, for our own benefit, but God is a creative God, and he loves when we use our creativity to bless the world around us. God has invited us into this new life on mission. And I want to wrap up here. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a second and just listen to the things that I described to you. We have loads of other groups in the works, and we're dreaming about a lot of different things. And I want to just read down through some ideas to you, things that I've heard from you guys, things that I've seen going on in the community that we care deeply about. When we get this right, when we live out the way Jesus lived out, I don't even have words. When the fatherless have fathers stepping into their lives, when the helpless are helped, when men and women in nursing homes are no longer lonely, when no one goes hungry or thirsty or cold, when artists add beauty to our world, and people aren't trapped in the city but have a chance to get out and experience God's creation, when people are prayed for and healed, when diverse cultures unite. Think of it, friends. What dream has God put in your heart? What brokenness do you sense around you, and you can't sleep when you're thinking about it? Maybe God's calling you to respond. Women no longer traffic for sex, racism purged from our neighborhood, loneliness eradicated, addictions broken, our friends and neighbors welcomed and loved and cared for, schools and teachers supported and encouraged for their critical work, single moms have support, everyday groups multiply and grow, more and more causes that God cares deeply about have a group of people championing them and leading this church in response to the brokenness in the world around us. And through all of this, it becomes clear to our city that God cares, that Jesus came to rescue, and that he's given that rescue mission to us, and we're his ambassadors, and they find the new life that's awaiting them in God's new family. And this stuff doesn't just happen here. The blessing spreads to the DR and Puerto Rico and throughout the Caribbean, to Mexico and South America, Africa and Asia and Europe. The whole world is blessed through everyday church living on mission for Jesus. That's what's out. Let's pray.